I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! Check this out.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. If you're looking for a safe space, you're an independent thinker out there. If you were one of these people who say, just give me the news, I don't need to hear it slanted, just give us the facts. You're in the right place from 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the safe space for independent thinkers out there. I'm going to talk a little bit today about COVID. So funny, I can do pages and pages of notes. I think it's underappreciated, the amount of research that I do for this to this show to try to bring things outside of mainstream news to people for a couple of hours. But I got stuff on COVID today, really, that between tail end of last night and early this morning that kind of changed the whole direction of the show. We're going to talk about that. So many people out there believe that COVID is going to end, face masks, the lockdowns, everything ends on November 4th. I can't count the number of times people have said this to me. I do not engage people on this unless they're good friends of mine and we're actually in a conversation where I will just simply say, I don't think that's true. We're about to find out, aren't we? Because we are creeping right up on Election Day, November 4th being the day after. Once the votes are in, as the votes get tallied, regardless of how long it takes to get the results in, there are a lot of people out there who believe that the COVID situation is going to go away on November 4th. We have this belief that the entire thing, and when I say we, I don't mean me. I guess I mean y'all. People. People have this belief that this entire thing has been concocted as a Democrat Party plot to get Donald Trump. I'm going to give you some stuff today to look at it and see if you think you're really thinking big picture stuff or if you've been corralled down into the very, very tiny world of partisan politics that we have here in the United States. I think this thing is much, much bigger than that. And I've said that essentially from day one, from when I first heard people floating this idea that this is all just a thing to hurt Donald Trump. I was noticing the reaction to it, what was actually going on, what was happening financially in response to COVID, and realized that it was not a plot to get Donald Trump, that this was much, much larger than that, and other goals were being accomplished. Does the media want to use it to hurt Donald Trump? Absolutely. Do the Democrats want to use it to hurt Donald Trump? Oh, of course they do. But if you think that's the purpose of this whole thing, if you believe that this whole thing, if you believe that Australia locked down and has been arresting their citizens in a park to hurt Donald Trump, there's really probably not a whole lot I can say to get through to you because that makes no logical sense. I'm not sure you're really dealing with a full deck there. If you believe that Italy closed down their entire society and decimated their economy back in March of 2020 in order to hurt Donald Trump, then I don't think I can help you because that's nonsensical to think that that's the case. Again, I'm going to go through some of the things today because I ran across a couple of new things that I think are important for people to hear, some things for people to consider, and then we'll find out. I'll do a big mea culpa on November 4th if they just blow a whistle. If Anthony Fauci just goes behind the podium and goes, it's over on November 4th, then I will concede that I was wrong, but I do not believe that I will be. We're going to get into that today. I got my quotes of the day today. This is Bertrand Russell. The whole problem with the world is that fools and fanatics are always so certain of themselves and wiser people so full of doubts. I'm going to read that one again. The whole problem with the world is that fools and fanatics are always so certain of themselves and wiser people are so full of doubts. I don't know. I got to tell you, I that kind of speaks to me. It's good for my ego because I'm on the side of people who are full of doubts as I look around and try to figure out what's going on. Everybody else seems to know exactly what's going on. Oh, they know this is the truth, and they know that's the truth. And I say, I got to tell you, the evidence is a little shaky on that. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't seem to be what you're saying anyway. This was in a piece yesterday by Charles Hughes Smith. Incompetence is now so ubiquitous, so embedded, so obvious, and so intractable that we finally have to recognize that America has institutionalized incompetence. That's Charles Hughes Smith, and certainly true. And then Friedrich Hayek said, the history of government management of money has, except for a few short happy periods, been one of incessant fraud and deception. Amen. Hayek, another quote machine, much like H.L. Mencken. You can get a lot from Friedrich Hayek. I got kind of going down my rabbit hole on the whole coronavirus thing again and trying to parse it out. Over the last couple of days, as I've been hearing people recount the death counts from all the all-cause mortality numbers from the past several years. According to the CDC, now I'm going to caveat this a little bit because I'll admit I didn't research the 2020 numbers as thoroughly as I should have, and I started to do it before the show, and I still have some questions. But in 2017, 2.8 million people. It's actually 2,813,000 people died. In 2018, 2,839,000 people died. In 2019, 2,855,000 people died. Now, the number they're giving for 2020 right now that I've heard reported, and it leads you to a CDC information, is for 2020 extrapolated. Of course, we don't know. The year's not over yet, obviously, but extrapolated with the trends, it's 2,838,000, actually less than 2019 and 2018. Now, here's the caveat to that. This will be a very interesting number. I don't know we can totally trust the CDC to actually report this correctly, but you know, a lot of times in these big bureaucracies, they'll put something out there. At the end of the year, we may find out that fewer people died this year than died last year. And they will put that right on the CDC website. Why? Because it doesn't matter. Because in the post-truth, post-fact world we live in right now, it really, they know they can just throw things right into your face. Look, when they can just throw in our face that the Saudi Arabian government, members of the Saudi Arabian government, funded the 9/11 attacks, and we demand nothing, we just ignore that and set our sights on Iran while we defend Saudi Arabia from Iran. They've figured out it really doesn't matter. We have gotten so stupid in this country, and we don't hold anybody accountable for anything ever, at any time, ever, ever, ever. So they may actually put the proper death count numbers on here. Now, this number from 2020, I pulled it up, and the CDC chart that is referenced in this is actually from January, February, and March. There is not another page. Now, I believe that's too early in the year to make that extrapolation. That leads you to another chart, too, which may hold a little bit more of a glimpse. Let me see. But this thing is, it is 4,908 columns long. It's going to take a little bit of research. Anyway, I do suspect if we get the true numbers at the end of this year that we will see that deaths, all-cause mortality this year is going to be relatively unchanged. Because a lot of these people, I mentioned the story about a doctor, runs a family practice here locally in central Mississippi who said, I wouldn't have known anything was going on if they hadn't made a big deal about COVID. And he's got a big booming practice, a general practitioner. He said every single year we get some patients who get some weird virus and get hospitalized for it, and occasionally somebody dies. He said this year has been absolutely no different in his patient population in here in central Mississippi. And I believe overall that is the kind of thing we're going to see. Does that mean nobody has died of COVID? No, it does not mean that. Does it mean that nobody is badly affected by whatever this disease is? No, it sounds like some people have really gotten something this year that has wrecked them. It does exist. How it exists, what exactly it is, I don't know. But I would imagine at the end of the year, if they report accurately, we'll probably see a relatively unchanged death number in the United States, which should cast doubt on every single thing we've done this entire year. And we should hold every single politician, bureaucrat accountable for what they did. Now, I'd give them the first 2 months. I'd give them March and April to go a little crazy on it. Even though as a libertarian, I totally disagree with it. I don't think you can ever force a private business owner to shut down You can advise them. You can warn them. You can give the people all the facts and let them decide whether or not they want to go out to eat. But as a libertarian, I don't think you go into a private business and say, you can only have 25% of people in here, or you can only do takeout food. People will figure their way out. I think you arm people with, in a free country, you arm people with as much information as you can, and then you let them make their own decisions. The outcome, good, bad, or indifferent, is up to them. That's what a free country is about. The problem is, in the United States, people can no longer really handle freedom. They want their kind of freedom, but they want to strip freedom from other people when they think it's justified. That's not a free country. That's at the whim of the mob. Freedom at the whim of the mob, and not how this country is designed. But after March and April, as the facts came in and we saw that younger people were not affected, just the fact that the lockdowns, watching the Sweden model, after a couple of months, they all should have come out and said a big mea culpa. Okay, look, this thing's not as bad as we thought it was. The mortality rate is not 3%. But they didn't do that. They didn't reverse it. Thomas Dobbs in Mississippi was on television last night sounding the warning alarms. But if we find out the deaths this year are different, you would think that we would hold people accountable. But what will happen is the CDC will get more money. When I come back, I'm going to tell you what I think the bigger picture on coronavirus is. For those of you who believe that this is all over November 4th, I disagree. I could be wrong. I'm going to go back to Bertrand Russell. I'm going to be one of the wiser people who's completely full of doubts. It's just I see the way things are lining up, and I'm making my own conclusion. And my worldview is not based around Donald Trump. I think too many people's worldview is entirely based around Donald Trump being the center of the universe. So if anything good happens, it's he did it. And if anything bad happens, it's somebody plotting against Donald Trump. We're going to listen to, in just a second when we come back, Sky News Australia actually aired this. It's almost hard to believe. It wouldn't happen in American media, but Sky News Australia allowed one of their contributors, former Australian Senator Corey Bernardi, to come on and kind of reframe the debate on COVID. We're going to listen to a little bit about what he says, and then I'm going to point to some other things that are glaring examples of the true goals of what's going on right now with the lockdowns and the absolute control of every nook and cranny of our society. It's not Trump. Will Trump be a casualty of this? I don't know. We'll see November 3rd. Did they try to hang it around his neck? Of course they did. Do they want to hurt him with it? Of course they do. People in every country are trying to hurt whatever leader is convenient to the other side. This is happening around the world. But on November 4th, this will soldier on because there are bigger goals, what they're trying to do, than just disrupt the Trump campaign. And I'll make my case today, and then you can just dismiss it all when I get done, and you can just wait for November 4th and think that you can burn your mask and open your business and you won't be harassed anymore. We'll see. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm right. We just got a couple of weeks to find out. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
This is going to be a bit of a deep dive show. So if you miss any parts of it, if you're not convinced, or if you want to hear the rest of the case that I build, that coronavirus is not over on November 4th. Now, all you have to do, if you believe that this is all a plot to destroy Donald Trump, then all you have to do is wait till November 4th and all is clear. Everything will get back to normal. And I hope you are right and I am wrong. Let me just say that. And I will come on the air on November 4th when there's media doesn't make a peep about coronavirus and they lift all restrictions and we go on with our lives, and I'll say, whoo, boy, I was dead wrong. Thank goodness, because what I'm about to lay out to you is not pretty. It's not good. So I'll start with this. You can also get the podcast. If you missed part of this, want to go back and get it, you can go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can go to the TuneIn app, or you can also listen to WYAB if you're outside of our coverage area in central Mississippi. This is TuneIn app, and just go in and search for WYAB. And apparently somewhere on there, my podcast is on there as well. This is, as I said, this is a former Australian Senator Cory Bernardi. He went on Sky TV, I believe, this was in September, actually. So it's been a couple of weeks ago. But he said this as somebody, and he's witnessing what's happening in Australia, which I talked about yesterday, and as a Western power. You know, you think about England, Australia, Israel as being these bright, shining, Western-style democracies, and they've had some of the most draconian lockdowns in the world. I was shocked when I saw what China did. These countries come pretty close, and in some places in Australia, maybe worse than what China did. Anyway, this is one of their former senators.
Now, there's something unusual about the continuing pandemic panic. Medical experts now acknowledge that lockdowns don't work. They see that treatment with hydroxychloroquine and zinc does work, and the government responses globally have led to a massive destruction of wealth, well-being, and work. Now, none of that makes any sense until you open your mind to consider if there's another agenda at work here. It's one we've seen before, but now it has a new name. It's called the Great Reset. Here's Klaus Schwab, the founder and chairman of the World Economic Forum.
Now, I tell you, you know, life seems to be like a movie sometimes. I mean, the things we've seen in 2020 seems like some level of a disaster movie at this point. This guy, if you've ever seen this, Klaus Schwab, just his accent, I think you'll get enough just from listening to him speak, but he is kind of the classic bald guy. The camera is kind of down low looking up at him. He's kind of in a shadow. This is he's straight out of central casting for a world control villain, something out of a Bond movie.
The COVID-19 crisis has shown us that our old systems are not fit anymore for the 21st century. It has laid bare the fundamental lack of social cohesion, fairness, inclusion, and equality.
All this guy is missing at this point, as I'm watching the video here, all he's missing is a white cat in his lap that he is stroking while he's telling us this.
Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system for the need for the post-corona era. But we have another choice. We can build a new social contract. In short, we need a great reset. We have to mobilize all constituents of our global society to work together. We must not miss this unique window of opportunity.
And there you go. As I said, the guy looks like a Bond villain. He sounds like a Bond villain. And he is explaining we need to upend and redo everything in the world. Now, why would they stop that on November 4th? They're not going to accomplish it in the next 3 weeks. We're not going back to normal or just cutting this thing off. Their goals are not accomplished, but they are getting there.
He admits that COVID-19 is the new excuse to usher in the Green New Deal that climate alarmists, climate profiteers, and big government advocates have been pushing for years. The Great Reset is a Trojan horse for the socialist agenda of crony capitalism and control. Incredibly, this agenda has been around for a long time, but it's just been hiding in plain sight. In 2010, Dr. Otmar Edenhofer, then co-chair of the IPCC working group, said, "We, the UN IPCC, redistribute the de facto the world's wealth by climate policy. One has to free oneself from the illusion that international climate policy is environmental policy. This has nothing to do with environmental policy anymore."
So there you go to all you climate change supporters out there, to all you people who support the Green New Deal, understand, just like what this guy said. This is from the IPCC, the climate change, big globalist climate change group. He says this has nothing to do with environmental policy anymore. This is about a restructuring of the system.
Well, after decades of failing to convince the rational world that their grab for power is necessary, these globalists have now hitched their ambition to COVID-19. Just think about it. The global response to COVID-19 has been a green socialist's dream. Consider their policy agenda and compare it with what's going on. Reduce fossil fuel use? Check. Next to no international travel? Check. Welfare for all? Check. Civil liberties curtailed? Check. Government by bureaucrats? Check. Why do you think the Australian Greens have been so quiet these past months? Well, it's because their policy agenda is coming to life. And it's not only in Australia that it's going on. Canada's farcical PM has emerged from his bunker of racial shame to push the green propaganda button. His newly appointed economic czar recently stated this.
I think all Canadians understand that the restart of our economy needs to be green. It also needs to be equitable. It needs to be inclusive.
It's the same in the USA, where Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are pushing extreme green policies and using Corona to justify another $2 trillion on climate change schemes to, and I quote, create economic opportunity in the wake of coronavirus.
I know the climate change is a challenge that's going to define our American future. I know meeting the challenge will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to jolt new life into our economy. Strengthen our global leadership. Protect our planet for future generations. And if I have the honor of being elected president, we're not just going to tinker around the edges. We're going to make historic investments that will seize the opportunity and meet this moment in history.
Well, after decades of peddling climate change lies and propaganda to force government by the elites, the socialists have used a media-induced hysteria over public health as their latest weapon of economic destruction. Now, you may recall the original...
Now, this piece goes on for about 11 minutes. If you want to email me, mikemadison@wyab.com, I will send you the link to it. Or you can look it up by title. Socialists are using hysteria over COVID as weapon of economic destruction. This is actually still alive on YouTube, surprisingly. But it is there if you want to take a look at it. Now, I spent a lot of times yesterday talking about how I understood voting for Donald Trump. I didn't understand the enthusiasm for supporting him. I heard something yesterday that I'll talk about some today, something else about Joe Biden that really absolutely kind of a hair-raising moment that makes it even more important to me that Joe Biden be stopped. I've always been very clear, even though I criticize Donald Trump, I'm in no way a supporter of Democrats, the lunatic left that's out there right now, or Joe Biden himself. Joe Biden must be stopped. But the question is then, is Donald Trump going to save us from this? I've got a couple other things I'm going to play and a couple other points to make here. We're sliding into this as we speak during the Donald Trump administration. Now, I do believe that if Joe Biden got in, he essentially opens the door to things like the Green New Deal, to these socialist ideas, to this control from the top, to the bureaucrats running things. Absolutely no doubt about it. Joe Biden and the Democratic Party need to be stopped before they open the door to this. The thing that I have a little sneaking suspicion on, though, is that Trump's administration is so full of globalists that they're letting this stuff sneak in the back door right now as we speak. And I'll make the points in just a second. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me.
All
so
right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I believe that Barack Obama was elected for a reason, selected for a reason. This is a guy who was a community organizer, spent 2 years in the U.S. Senate, and suddenly was president of the United States. Barack Obama oversaw policies that the left would have lost their mind about had they been under a Republican. If you look at the charts of wealth inequality under Barack Obama, they're stunning. That is when the alligator's mouth really started to open up. When you look at the chart, that's what it looks like. The top 1%, but it's driven by the 0.01%, were raking in massive amounts of money as the left stood down while Barack Obama and the Federal Reserve started printing up money and just shoving it at Wall Street. They couldn't stuff it in their pockets fast enough. I have a fear that one of the things that is happening under the Trump administration is that everybody has placed such great faith in Donald Trump that you're not really watching what's happening. And I've been pretty consistent on the show since COVID started, just coming to these airwaves and saying, is nobody noticing we are remaking the entire financial system in this country? Sending out checks to everybody, this enhanced unemployment, shutting down Main Street while Wall Street goes through the roof. And nobody's noticing because they're wrapped up in the two-party political theater. I believe Barack Obama had a lot of the left stand down on peace. I don't know if you remember, but there was actually a left-wing anti-war movement up to 2008 that disappeared in 2009. There was a Tea Party on the right that existed for a while, but has certainly been completely silent now. They are standing down because their guy's in charge. Now, I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from voting for Donald Trump. That is never my intention. It is to question leadership. I am suspicious of politicians, and I think that's pretty warranted in this day and age. Everybody thinks that Trump is the exception. You don't dare question him because he's playing at a level that we can't even understand. Just vote for him and then sit back and watch all the greatness happen. And I'm telling you, I'm going to lay out the case in just a second. My question is, too, as I just played that clip for you from this former senator down in Australia who went to Sky News and said, look, there seems to be a real agenda. They are using this COVID to roll out these new socialist programs. And as I've told you, in the United States now, 25% of personal income comes from the government. First time ever. Highest ever. And you certainly see Joe Biden out there talking about Green New Deal and green jobs. And I've actually got a kind of funny clip on that in just a second. Less funny when you take it in the context of what I'm talking about today. My question is, why aren't Republicans talking about this? Now, they do a little bit of lip service against the Green New Deal, and they'll do a little bit of lip service, but they don't name the Great Reset. This is actually something. This is what it is called. This is a named program from the World Economic Forum, the Davos crowd. The Great Reset. And there is another term that is being thrown all around the U.S. election that I have not heard one Republican talk about, not Donald Trump, not any of Trump's surrogates. And to my knowledge, although I may have missed something, I have not heard a Republican Congress critter or anybody come out and talk about this new theme that's going out that is actually on the Joe Biden webpage, and I've talked about it on the show several times. And it is the UN slogan that Joe Biden is using, Build Back Better. This is on Joe Biden's website. You got to scroll down just about one page down. He talks about his plan is to build back better. Now, it's a catchy slogan. Look, I'm Mike Madison. I do Hump Day Health, False Flag Friday. I'm a fan of alliteration. But not when it's a globalist plot. I do draw the line at my enjoyment of good alliteration when it comes to that. Here's a compilage. And again, remember, you've got a candidate for the presidency of the United States right now that some polls in this international, I guess it was Investors Business Daily that supposedly had some very accurate polling back in 2016 came out and said Joe Biden is ahead right now. I know nobody wants to hear that and you don't believe it. But he is a contender right now. I don't think anybody can say for sure what's going to happen in this election. But Joe Biden is using Build Back Better. Here's a compilage of people saying this, not just in the U.S., around the world. And I believe this starts with Tedros from the WHO.
Four sets of priorities can guide the response to Build Back Better and achieve the Sustainable Development Goals.
I think actually that's the head of the UN, and his name escapes me right now.
So the vice president took the approach of saying, we're not just going to try to plaster over the cracks and put some props in where it's falling apart. His approach was to say, we're going to build it back better. We're going to take an economy that had a lot of problems, and we're going to make this economy work better going forward. That's the right approach.
This election is about building this country back better. And that's what Joe and I will do.
So Africa can build back better, greener, more integrated, and resilient.
Rekindle the Canadian economy by building back better.
We need to seize this moment to be creative about how we reposition the national economy.
Resilience is so critical, and I think it takes on even broader meaning when you have a pandemic.
But this moment also gives us a much greater chance to be radical and to do things differently, to build back better.
Now, let me point out who that is. That is Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of England, who is known as the English Trump. He's a conservative, using air quotes here in the studio, and he is certainly on board with this. This is also the same Boris Johnson that asked Donald Trump, and Donald Trump agreed to give $1.2 billion to Bill Gates' vaccine group, Gavi. So this thing is not just a partisan thing. We'll let him finish out here. This is, and again, the reason I like playing this clip is these are people around the world. This is not a Joe Biden came up with a catchy little slogan of Build Back Better. No, this is a theme just like the Great Reset.
And to build back bolder. And so we will be doubling down on our strategy. We will double down on leveling up.
But this election is not just about him. It's about us. It's about you. It's about what we'll do. Over the last 2 weeks, I've shared my agenda for economic recovery. I call it Build Back Better, because we can't just build back to the way things were before. We have to do it better.
Okay. So my question stands. Why are no Republicans pointing out that Joe Biden is using this UN slogan for a presidential campaign in this country? The Republicans are against all this globalism and internationalism, aren't they? Aren't they the sworn enemies of the globalists? Why is Trump not pointing this out, or if I missed it? Maybe I've missed him talking about the fact, but it seems like this would be a very big hammered point with the Trump base. And I'm going to go through some statistics in just a little while, because as I say, I think a lot of conservatives, patriots, nationalists, whatever you want to call yourselves, I think a lot of you are a little bit asleep at the wheel. I'm not saying don't vote for Donald Trump. Can't let Joe Biden get the presidency of the United States. That would be a disaster. There is a possibility, probably remote, that the Democrats could sweep everything. And it would be an absolute disaster. The only encouraging thing would be that conservatives would find the fight in them again. They would start paying attention. We've got a situation right now where we're talking about the U.S. military rolling out a national vaccine program. If that was under Hillary Clinton administration, conservatives, patriots would be losing their mind. Right now, it's just a, oh, yeah, well, that's an efficient way to do it for a vaccine we don't want. Oh, and using the military to roll it out in the country. That sounds like a plan, a great leadership plan. If Hillary Clinton said she was going to use the military to inoculate every human being in the United States, conservatives, patriots would be losing their mind. And so is Trump allowing globalism to sneak in while he talks about it? I don't think so. Trump would have to be quite an actor to really be in on this thing, and I don't particularly see that. But maybe it's that he doesn't know, and that all of the globalists that he has brought into his administration are hiding it from him or not advising him on this great push. Name somebody in the Trump administration, quick, that is an America first person, not a globalist. His Department of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, the Rothschild banker? Is it Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary from Goldman Sachs? Is it the Eli Lilly executive that runs Health and Human Services that is in charge of this whole debacle and Operation Warp Speed of the new vaccine? Is it Mike Pompeo, the globe-trotting warmonger? Name the person in the Trump administration that might pull him aside and tug at his coat a little bit and go, hey, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Joe Biden's using a UN slogan for his campaign. And this coronavirus is not just a plot to get you, Mr. President. This is actually a big coordinated thing that's going around the world right now and is remaking systems around the world. And I don't know if you've noticed, President Trump, but we've got a quarter of the American people on social programs right now in the United States, deriving a quarter of personal income in this country now. Never been seen before. And I don't know if you've noticed the trillions of dollars leaking out to Wall Street. I mean, I don't know who in the Trump administration might pull him aside and say, hey, look, you make a lot of speeches about globalism and remaking the system, and you're not going to allow socialism in here. I don't know if you've noticed, it's coming in right now under your administration. And again, I say I'm suspicious. I'm going to come back in just a second. I want you to take a look at what we're seeing in the country right now. I'm not saying, again, go ahead, vote for Donald Trump. If you vote for Joe Biden, if Joe Biden gets in, he opens the door to all this stuff. It is like giving the vampire the keys to the front door. But I'm afraid Donald Trump opened the door and invited them in, and they're already in the house. I'm going to take a look at where the world is right now. Again, I keep wanting to say this because I know how I'm perceived out there. He's this Trump hater. He's this never Trumper. He's got Trump derangement syndrome. No, I'm looking around and going, I think we need to pay a little bit more attention. Maybe not place so much faith in one human being to do this all and actually pay attention to the results we're getting. I'll go through them in just a second.
Oh, nice!
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I want to be clear, you're listening to the show of an outsider. I mean, there's no doubt about that if you're a regular listener to this show. I judge politicians by what they do. I don't care about speeches. I judge them on every action. Republicans, Democrats. Democrats are pretty easy to prejudge because just about every action is absolutely horrible. But I'm the same with Donald Trump, and I think there's some value to an outsider who's not inside one of these bubbles kind of telling you what they see going on just so, I don't know, maybe you can pay attention. I remember Barack Obama for 8 years going out and giving speeches about wealth inequality and lifting the poor and all of the pandering he did to the common man, the working class out there, while I watched the charts of wealth inequality going through the roof because Barack Obama knew that Federal Reserve was churning out that sweet Wall Street cash. And he knew it because he had a Citigroup cabinet. See, I could see that as an outsider. Now, a lot of Republicans could see that Obama was a con job. The problem is when our guy gets in, we let our guard down. We assume, and I've never seen more people that have more faith that this guy's going to save us all, and that's Donald Trump. I'm not telling you don't vote for him because a vote for Joe Biden, a Joe Biden presidency, will be a disaster for this country. But I'm suspicious, and I don't know why it's somehow odd to be suspicious of a politician. And I hate to tell you, Donald Trump's a politician. Here's what we're looking at in the country right now. We've got calls for socialism that have never been higher in modern times. We've got more people on the government payroll than ever. 25% of all personal income in the United States comes from the federal government. Wealth inequality right now is increasing. The globalists have never, ever been richer. The Federal Reserve, which facilitates all that, under Donald Trump's guy, Jerome Powell, and with Donald Trump's blessing and actual encouragement, is printing up trillions of dollars that is going to the billionaire and the donor class in this country right now. After a lot of talk about a trade war with China and bringing manufacturing back, our trade deficits have been going up for several years now. If you look at the trend, it is not our friend. We've never been in this country. I'm just telling you to take a snapshot of where we are right now, because you believe if you go and you vote November 3rd and we can get Donald Trump back in office one more time, we can sit back and just wait for him to fix it all. I'm telling you, we've had 4 years now. We've never been more tracked, traced, monitored, and our most basic civil liberties have been stripped from us in this past year. Censorship has never been more prevalent. Now, I know what everybody's thinking. I know this is the left doing all these things. This is why we have to defeat the left. I'm saying I'm looking at the last 4 years and realizing the only real control that the Democrats and the left have had is 2 years in the House of Representatives. The Republicans have had both chambers for 2 years. They kept the Senate for the next 2 years. The Democrats got the House, and Donald Trump's been president. And I'm giving you a recap of what I'm seeing right now in this country and asking, should we be paying a little bit more attention to the results we're getting right now? Or do you think voting November 3rd and then just waving a Trump flag is going to solve it all? Because I'm looking at after 4 years, it's not encouraging to me. Censorship, race relations have soured, and there's more violence in the street. Just the most basic math right now, the most basic math, which they won't use at the federal level, which is the number of people currently collecting unemployment benefits divided by the number of working age Americans, put unemployment in this country at well over 15% at least. And that's a generous assessment, not including some of the people that have dropped out of the labor force. Yet we are told that we are doing great. Main Street is dying right now, and Wall Street is thriving. J.P. Morgan just came out this morning with great earnings. Oh, they knocked the cover off the ball, even after paying $1 billion fine for manipulating and rigging the gold market. They got caught with that, pled guilty to it. Did anybody go to jail? Nah. They paid $1 billion fine, yet they had record profits. Well, I take that. It might not have been a record profit for them, but during a time when a lot of Americans have been hurt, J.P. Morgan seems to be doing just fine. And Donald Trump is tweeting the economy. He tweeted it yesterday. The economy is about ready to go through the roof. Stock market ready to break all-time record. 401k's incredible. New jobs record. Remember all this when you vote Sleepy Joe. Vote. Sleepy Joe wants you to watch to quadruple your taxes. Depression. Don't let it happen. Another tweet yesterday. Stock market up another 300 points. Greatest leading indicator of them all. Don't ruin it with Sleepy Joe. It's all about the stock market. The stock market is essentially the health of Wall Street. It is not the health of Main Street. It is no longer a leading indicator of the economy. It's an indicator of how much Fed cash is flowing into corporate coffers so they can buy back their own stocks and speculate, knowing that if things go sideways, they'll be bailed out by the taxpayer. And they have been all year this year. So in summary of this first hour, this is a bigger plot than to get Donald Trump with COVID. This is the great reset. We're in it. The Republicans and Donald Trump aren't stopping it. This is Build Back Better, the UN agenda. Whether Joe Biden is elected or not, I'm afraid it is still creeping in. And from what I just read you, the state of this country right now, it seems that go out there and vote for Donald Trump, but then hold his feet to the fire.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right. right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002, if you want to join the show today. I had originally, before I kind of got on this whole, ran across these pieces on the Great Reset and Build Back Better. These are programs that are being rolled out right now. I'll tell you another thing to be watching. Just in the last couple of days, the dream of the globalist is a cashless society. The dream of anybody who wants to control a bunch of people is a cashless society, particularly when you're toying with negative interest rates. Imagine a day where right now I've been talking about the fact I can't believe senior citizens are not out in the streets. Walkers, wheelchairs, I don't care how it takes to get you out there. I can't believe you're not out in the streets about getting 0.05% on your savings, on getting 0.5% on your conservative investments to let you live out your golden years. But nobody seems to notice or care. But they've been talking about cash, and with a cashless society, just imagine we take it into negative interest rates at some point, and you put your money into a bank because you got no choice. You can't have cash anymore. So the bank decides, and across the board, all the banks collectively, they all decide, well, we're going to have to start charging you 1% to keep your money in the bank. Well, then it's 2%. Then it's 3%. Then they do things like bail-ins. These things have already happened around the world. Started in Cyprus about 9 or 10 years ago. Or they just went in and said, if you got more than $100,000 in your bank account, we're going to have to take 20% of everything above that to bail out the banks. This has already happened around the world. No, never here, though, Mike, right? Oh, of course, no. We've shoveled about $6 to $7 trillion to Wall Street during 2020. Nobody even notices. Well, except me. But the cashless society, just in the past couple of days, there have been a couple of headlines that have been out. They've been talking about the fact that the virus can live on surfaces. I saw something. The virus can live on currency for up to 4 weeks. That dirty, dirty cash. The Federal Reserve is tinkering around with an idea of giving you an app that they can load themselves. You'll have this little app where suddenly if the Federal Reserve thinks it needs to inject a little bit of money into the economy, they'll send you $1,000. Here's the thing, though. With it, they'll tell you, but you have to spend it in the next 9 days or you lose it. Great way to goose a little income, a little GDP, make everybody feel all fat and happy. This will be wildly inflationary. Prices of everything will go up. Standard of living will go down. They've also been talking about last night, I believe it was. I saw in the news this morning. It might have been the baseball game last night. Was the World Series or something going on? I don't even know. Apparently there was some big baseball game on last night, and they were talking about, oh, look at that. They got crowds for the first time in 2020. And I saw them saying that everything in the park was cashless. You couldn't go to a vendor and grab a beer and a pretzel with that dirty, dirty, diseased $10 bill. No, every single thing in there was touchless and cashless in the cashless society. This is the perfect opportunity to roll that out. I'm very suspicious the confluence of three or four different headlines that I've seen just in the past couple of days really going after cash, and they've been trying to do this for quite some period of time. A lot of Americans will think, well, that's great. It's convenient anyway. I barely ever use cash. Look, I use my debit card too, but I love the idea that I can stuff away a few $100 for an emergency or something, or sell something without the IRS getting notification that I had a garage sale. I might have just outed myself. Anyway, be wary of that. Wall Street Journal had an article out. The coronavirus pandemic is splitting the restaurant industry in two. Big, well-capitalized chains like Chipotle Mexican Grill and Domino's Pizza are gaining customers and adding stores while tens of thousands of local eateries go bust. Large operators generally have the advantage of more capital, more leverage on lease terms, more physical space, more geographic flexibility, and prior expertise with drive-throughs, carry-out, and delivery. A similarly uneven recovery is unfolding across the business world as big firms have tended to fare far better during the pandemic than small rivals in the retail world. Bigger chains like Walmart and Target are posting strong sales while many small shops struggle to stay open. And, you know, I ask you to just do this one little thought experiment with me. You know, I know a lot of people don't like my criticisms of Donald Trump. It's just I can't help it. It's like I see something that other people don't see. And I think everybody is standing down waiting for Donald Trump to fix it all. If we can just get the Republicans back in charge. I mean, they had 2 years, 17 and 18, didn't do anything with it. But certainly this time they will. I'm saying if you looked at, you know, I gave my little laundry list end of last hour of exactly where the world stands right now, some of the more kind of startling things to me. If President Hillary Clinton had been in office for 4 years and the world was exactly the same as it is today, exactly, would you be excited? Would you answer a poll that said that you're better off now and the country is headed in the right direction after 4 years of President Hillary Clinton? I'm talking about if the results were exactly the same. Same bogus COVID hysteria, same death numbers, same economic figures, same everything. Would you say, well, got to say, she's done a pretty good job? Pretty doubtful. The World Bank has come out, and this kind of goes to this idea of the Great Reset that they're talking about. The World Bank suggested upwards of 150 million people could be pushed into extreme poverty due to, and here it comes, the virus pandemic, erasing nearly 3 years of progress in global poverty reduction. According to the report, for the first time in two decades, the virus pandemic, compounded by the effects of climate change, are slowing poverty reduction progress, resulting in an additional 88 million to 115 million people falling into extreme poverty this year, with total estimates of 150 million in 2021, depending on the economic recovery shape. Yeah, no duh. To be mature about it, no duh. When you shut the world's economy down, you're gonna boost a little bit of poverty. And the saddest thing to me too is to all of my leftist friends out there who believe that capitalism is the cause of all these. The reduction in poverty around the world has been at the hands of free markets and capitalism. Go to any underdeveloped country and you see where they are succeeding. It will be in production or availability of goods and services provided by a private business, and governments have been the ones standing in the way of this for decades and decades. If you want to see less income inequality, if you want to see rising standard of living across the globe, you unleash capitalism, willing people trading with each other, and get governments out of the way. The capitalist system that we tried for a little while here in the United States, we abandoned it 40, 50 years ago, particularly since 1971, really 1913. But the capitalist system that spread throughout the world really lifted a lot of boats. But we don't look at that because what we see is the nasty excesses of crony capitalism, and we label it as capitalism, and then we have problems. I'm gonna take a break. I'm going to come back and tell you, though, because I've done my fair share of criticizing Donald Trump yesterday and today. I'm telling you, I'm suspicious. I don't like where we're headed right now. And I think Trump is surrounded by so many globalists. I don't think they're shooting him straight on this stuff. And I don't care about his speeches. I don't care about his words. I don't care about any politician's words. I'm looking at where we are. If in my list I was inaccurate at any point, you can certainly give me a call and let me know where these tremendous bright spots are. I hear the economy is going to do great next year. That's probably news to the tens of thousands of small businesses that have had to shutter the door and declare bankruptcy. But somehow, magically, next year is going to be fantastic. But yesterday I did hear something that sent a shiver down my spine when it came to the Joe Biden campaign. First, I'll play a funny clip he had yesterday. I mean, Joe Biden almost got a ton of votes yesterday. He should have left this gaffe hanging instead of correcting it, and I think he probably would have run into the White House. He's got an idea on minimum wage, but he's also got an idea for his cabinet that is terrifying. I'll do that in just a second. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Joe Biden, Democrats, what are you thinking? I mean, I'm still kind of clinging to this idea. As I lay this case out to you today, that the Great Reset is happening here in the United States, that the Build Back Better is happening in the United States, that our tilt towards socialism is happening in the United States right now as we speak, I believe that the Democrats are trying to hand this thing to Donald Trump. It just seems, it's just too obvious. Joe Biden was out on the campaign trail yesterday, so we got the first clip from him. I'm sure you've already heard it, but it just cracks me up. I'm going to make a larger point about that. There's another clip that is actually even more ridiculous to me, but of course this is the one that's circulating right now.
You know, we have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate.
He is standing behind a big sign at his podium that says, yes, you guessed it, Build Back Better, the UN agenda of Build Back Better. Why are the Republicans and Donald Trump not mentioning that this is a UN-funded program? And then this was where I think Joe Biden, if he hadn't corrected this gaffe, I think he probably would have gotten a lot of enthusiasm. People on the left, people talk a lot about the fact there's no Joe Biden signs in any yards. That's because nobody cares about Joe Biden. I would imagine you could count enthusiastic Joe Biden supporters on, well, let's not be both hands, both feet. What is that, 20, depending on your health? Maybe. This is all a referendum on Donald Trump. People are voting for Joe Biden if they hate Donald Trump. That's the only thing that the guy offers. But I want you to listen to this. He had something that I think would have generated some enthusiasm in the community for him. He announced his plans for a new minimum wage.
Growth and increasing incomes. A $15 million, $15,000, $15 minimum wage. I'm dreaming here.
Well, Joe, he really struggles with the numbers, doesn't he? I hope he, you know, if he, somehow he sneaks his way into the presidency, I hope they don't let him anywhere near the books. I got to tell you, I can't imagine Jill and him trying to balance a checkbook. It says right here, we've got $35 million. Joe, that's $3,500. We can't buy that boat. I want to play the rest of this clip because it's what's funny to me is not even as much what he just said on the minimum wage. I want you to listen to the crowd's reaction to this thing. I've done several clips on the show where Joe Biden is distracted by something. There was one where there was a train. He couldn't get his train of thought back because there was an actual locomotive going by and the horn was doing it. One of his nut job outdoor things with, you know, 18 staffers and 6 supporters. He couldn't get back on track because there was a train distracting him. But this is his speech yesterday, and I want you to listen to the crowd's reaction, see if you can hear it.
Minimum wage. I'm dreaming here. But a $15 minimum wage for our essential workers. We're not just going to praise you. We're going to pay you with a good wage. Ensure you have strong benefits. We'll ease the burden of the major cost in your life. We'll build the Affordable Care Act, adding new health insurance options, not-for-profit public options, which give private insurers a real competitor. We're going to increase subsidies for premiums and lower your costs.
FYI, while he's doing this, his mask is basically sunk down to around his chin level.
Increase plans that will lower deductibles and lower out-of-pocket expenses. And we're going to take on the pharmaceutical industry.
Okay. Yes, he is not. He's not doing this rally at a major intersection. No, this is. Oh my gosh. What has happened to us, people? Is it the education system? Is it the food? Somebody tell me. We've got to fix the intelligence of the average American. He's doing a drive-in political rally. Everybody stayed in their cars. So they are honking instead of applauding. Oh my gosh. Yesterday I talked about the dance of the kids who were masked up back to back, locking arms to dance together. And I thought that was, no, that's still dumber than Joe Biden's drive-in rally yesterday. It's also, I think, genius on the Joe Biden part because, you know, you can tell by the sound of applause how many people are there. And when you hear just a smattering of clapping, I don't know why they're not smart enough to juice the sound. I mean, we've been watching a whole season of professional sports where they pipe in crowd noise because there's no fans there. I don't know why Joe Biden's people haven't said, hey, we need to kind of put some juice up this applause a little bit, but they don't do that. But you can tell when there's not many people there when they just a smattering of applause. But I guess if you get everybody in their cars and they're just laying on their horns, it sounds like some real enthusiasm. So that was Joe Biden yesterday. It was $15 million minimum wage. I asked yesterday why small government conservatives should be excited about Donald Trump as president. Pretty much a lot of my show yesterday was really about the enthusiasm because of what I see surrounding Donald Trump. His words, they're great, aren't they? Really feel like a rebirth of everything that is American. The reality on the ground, not so much as far as I can tell, but I also made it extremely clear that I would not be a Joe Biden supporter. I find the left absolutely abhorrent. I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from voting for Donald Trump. And then I ran across this yesterday and thought, okay, maybe I need to actually join the Trump train. This was so absolutely terrifying to me as a Joe Biden policy decision that I got to tell you, you may see me on the news if there's a President Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. Here it is. Former Secretary of State, U.S. Senator, and Benghazi belittler, Hillary Clinton has penned a 5,000-word opinion editorial for Foreign Affairs magazine, a scarcely read biet. I don't even know what that is. That's an interesting word. Important foreign policy industry publication. And here's the kicker here. I'm telling you, I'm getting scared just saying this. It's like telling a ghost story that actually scares you. It's so bad. The article clearly aims to establish Hillary Clinton as a potential Biden pick for Secretary of Defense, one of the most powerful cabinet positions in the U.S. government. Oh, my gosh. Holy cow. I'm not even sure if I'd be more terrified at a Hillary presidency as much as I would be with Hillary Clinton at the Department of Defense. But, yeah, she's still skating around. I don't know where is Defense Secretary in the line of, when you... The president dies, goes to the vice president. Vice president dies, goes to the Speaker of the House. I don't know where Secretary of Defense is in there, but if I was above Secretary of Defense in a cabinet that had Hillary Clinton in it, I'd be watching my six. She's not above taking out a couple of dozen people to have the presidency finally land on her. She'd have to act quickly because if she doesn't, Kamala would be the first woman president. So she might have to take out Kamala first. Look out, Kamala. Kamala? Am I saying it wrong again? Gosh darn it. You get charged with racism if you say her name wrong, and I can't seem to get it right. Anyway, Joe Biden considering Hillary Clinton for defense secretary is one of the most terrifying things. I mean, the Green New Deal is bad, catastrophically bad for the United States. The socialism, the critical race theory, it's all really bad. But I got to tell you, Hillary Clinton as defense secretary, that may be the thing that... That may be the thing that gets me back on the Trump train and cheering for Donald Trump. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I don't have enough time. I want to do a show one day about the medical marijuana bill just to get an idea of what people think about it. Don't call about it now. I want to hear what people have to say about it, particularly in a conservative audience. I met a lot of people who signed the petition for medical marijuana in here, and it was an amazing cross-section of people, very religious people, very conservative people who just realized that this plant helps a lot of people. And then there are some people who are just really opposed to it. And I'm gonna pull together some quotes and stuff. Phil Bryant is out there saying he's against it. That has nothing to do with the money he took in from Big Pharma when he was governor, I'm sure. I am sure of that. How dare you even suggest such a thing? But I will say this real quick on it. If you're interested, and I'm going to talk about this probably a little bit on my health show tomorrow, if you decide that you would like to see patients in Mississippi be able to try something besides opioids or some of the other medications that are failing them right now, you have to vote yes on that, number one. And then you have to pick between 65 and 65A. A quick explanation of that. 65 is the grassroots effort to get this done. It's a fantastic program. I met people from around the country who said it's one of the best crafted bills nationwide that they'd seen in any state that had proposed it. Had doctors involved. It had pastors involved. And everybody was involved in putting this together. The state health department was involved. Now they're trying to tell you that they're against it, some of the bureaucrats there. But a lot of people were consulted before this thing was even put together, 65. 65A is the politicians trying to wreck it. And that's the main thing for people to know. You can have a choice. Now, you can vote no if you want to. I'd try to talk you out of that. I think that there is certainly, as somebody who does a health show based on natural therapies for stuff, medical marijuana does have uses, regardless of all the people who come out and tell you, well, we need more study. They make something Schedule One, so it can't be studied. And then they tell you, we need more studies. It's quite a little trick that they pull there. But there are lots of people who get relief from it. I saw several groups that had come out, VFW for PTSD for soldiers. We've got a problem with veteran suicides in this country right now. We've had an opioid epidemic sweep through the nation. Nobody out there saying we should outlaw opioids, but they kill a ton of people, tens of thousands of people a year. Well, we'll just keep them going and make the company that makes them rich. But if you're against it, just vote no. But if you are for it, you vote yes, and then you have to go underneath there and you have to pick between 65 and 65A. 65 is the real deal bill that will help people in this state. 65A is politicians trying to crush it. So if you are in favor, it's 65, not 65A. And the fact that I have to explain this shows you exactly what the purpose of this was. It was to confuse everybody. They want a bunch of people to go to the polls and vote yes if they're for it, and then not really know which one they want, so they'll just leave that blank. Let me tell you, that counts for nothing. Nothing happens if you do that. And that's their intention. The putting a measure on the ballot, I watched this take place during this time. You would not believe the hurdles. The politicians really hate it when the people do something for themselves. I don't know if you've noticed that. State level, federal level, local level, it doesn't really matter. Politicians hate to give up any level of control. They look down their nose at us in our grassroots movements. No, they'll co-opt them to get you to go and vote for them, to keep them in power. But by and large, most politicians really don't like the people doing their own thing. They believe it should go through the hallowed halls of the legislature or the Congress, or it's not worth anything. These peons don't know what they're doing. We're the professionals at this. And so they've set up this system here for ballot initiatives, which is incredibly tedious. I've also spoken to people around the country who, when I described the process for getting something on the ballot in Mississippi, they just shook their head. What? Are you serious? They couldn't believe it. And so in this very red state, we sing the Pledge of Allegiance, sing the national anthem and say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we dip ourselves in GOP red, but when it comes to the freedom of the people in the state, there's not a whole lot of interest in us taking control of stuff. They want to make sure that the government is firmly in control. One of my problems with the Republican Party. I had a couple other things to get to today. Can people handle this? Because I saw another. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read this story. Trigger alert, I guess. This is really maybe something that somebody can answer for me because, again, I've kind of made it a theme yesterday, a little bit today, is Trump going to fix it all for us? Is Trump the savior that everyone thinks he is? I say, vote for Donald Trump. Stop Joe Biden. That's my position. Stop Joe Biden and the Democrats. Don't give the Democrats a win with their behavior. They do not need to be rewarded. Don't give the media a win. Vote for Donald Trump. But then keep your eye on him, because I ran across this yesterday. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is leaning on the Pentagon to move ahead with a plan to stand up a 5G wireless network, sources tell Axios. Now, I know what you're saying. Oh, that's Axios. That's fake news. Well, just hold on a second. And the idea, despite opposition from key government and private sector players, could well outlive the Trump administration. And, of course, that's true. But we would expect something like a 5G rollout from the Democrats. I don't know about you. I know a lot of people not real excited about having a 5G tower every 100 feet throughout their neighborhoods where their children play. Maybe it's absolutely fine. But for all the people who say, well, we can't have medical marijuana, there need to be more studies. They sure are excited to roll out 5G and radiate us all. There have been no studies, no long-term study on 5G, have there? Trump is really hell-bent on rolling out 5G around the country. This is an Axios article. And again, stay with me. I'm gonna back this up in a second. Trump's own words. Why it matters, the Department of Defense could lease out capacity to wireless carriers and other companies in need of ubiquitous high-speed connectivity that 5G technology promises. That prospect made this Trump administration's most serious push towards a federally backed national 5G network since it first floated the idea in 2018. The federal government would also, according to the memo, they have a memo that was circulated around with the Trump administration, some people in the Trump administration are trying to accomplish, which is a federal rollout. Again, big, giant government. A federal rollout of 5G. The federal government will also, according to the memo, be able to use the banner of national security to create a federal process for installing the wireless equipment, preventing states and cities from having their own rules for where the equipment would go. Now, I got to tell you, as an observer, as somebody who watches from the outside and hears people talking on both sides and takes it all in, I know a whole lot of Trump supporters, conservatives, and air quotes here in the studio, I guess, patriots, who if Hillary Clinton was threatening to roll out 5G across this country using the Pentagon, you would lose your mind. And as soon as they wrap this thing in a national security banner, should they accomplish this, you can rest assured you lose all control over it. There is no resistance. Once they say national security, it's over. Sit down. Shut up. Have you noticed this? We have in this country, and reauthorized by the Trump administration, things like indefinite detention for anybody declared a terrorist in this country. Now, Trump is not the Hitler that the left tries to paint him, because he's got all the tools. If you people on the left think Donald Trump is some dictator Hitler, he's the worst one ever because he hasn't used a lot of the tools, but someday somebody's going to use them. And I got to tell you, a nationally rolled out, federally rolled out 5G network is not something I want to see. And just because Donald Trump rolls it out, I'm not going to ignore it. That's what most people want you to do. Oh, just ignore that. That's no big deal. But boy, I know a lot of people not hip to the 5G. We want a few more studies. We're not really sure. And I got to tell you, I don't need my dishwasher talking to my refrigerator. I don't care about that. I don't even want a self-driving car. Kind of like driving myself, being in control of where I go. So 5G offers me essentially nothing. My computer speed is absolutely fine as it is right now. As far as I'm concerned, we can quit. Oh, but national security. We got to beat the Chinese, right? This is what Trump said. See, a lot of people heard me say Axios, and they said, oh, fake news.
We cannot allow any other country to outcompete the United States in this powerful industry of the future. We are leading by so much in so many different industries of that type, and we just can't let that happen. The race to 5G is a race America must win, and it's a race, frankly, that our great companies are now involved in. We've given them the incentive they need. It's a race that we will win. To accelerate and incentivize these investments, my administration is focused on freeing up as much wireless spectrum as needed. We're going to free it up so they'll be able to get out there and get it done, and removing regulatory barriers to the build-out of networks. But we must not rest. The race is far from over. American companies must lead the world in cellular technology. 5G networks must be secure. They must be strong. They have to be guarded from the enemy. We do have enemies out there, and they will be. They must also cover every community, and they must be deployed as soon as possible.
Must cover every single community, so you have no choice. You don't want 5G in your community? You don't care about your doorbell talking to your cat litter box? See, this is what the IoT is, the Internet of Things, that 5G promises, this great panacea that your dishwasher will talk back to HQ and let you know if anything's going wrong. That you'd be able to go to the grocery store and dial up your refrigerator and it says, hey, Mike, little low on milk. Got an RFID chip in the milk that judges how low it is, how much it weighs. I don't know how it's going to work. I'm a technology idiot. But you'd be able to do your shopping. Well, I mean, if you even go to the stores anymore, soon you'll just have the self-drive. If we have 5G, your refrigerator just places the order for you and magically a drone shows up at your house and drops off the groceries that you're needing. What a great country. Donald Trump also said in a tweet, this is a February 21st of 2019, I want 5G and even 6G technology in the United States as soon as possible. It is far more powerful, faster, and smarter than the current standard. American companies must step up their efforts or get left behind. There is no reason we should be lagging behind on it. That's Donald Trump out of his own words. So the Axios story that says they are considering the Pentagon rolling out 5G nationwide, I'm going to need somebody. I know there are Trump supporters out there that are not excited about 5G. A lot of people have tried to tie coronavirus to 5G. You at least have some suspicions there, whether that's true or not. I don't think it is. But there's a lot of people I know that are Trump supporters, Q supporters, that are pretty suspicious of 5G. So why the rollout? Right out of Trump's words, right out of his mouth. He wants to get this 5G. He wants to get it out there. He wants to get it fast. We need to beat everybody else, and we need to have every single community wired into 5G. Someone's got to explain to me the 3D chess on that one. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Only a few minutes left in today's show, but never too little time to toot my own horn. Boy, I'm going to be the watchman on the wall. People are going to look back and say, he kind of knew what he was talking about, didn't he? We ignored him. We ridiculed him. We turned him off because he wasn't carrying the water. He wasn't part of the tribe. He wasn't a good, loyal member of the team. But he did see a few things that maybe people weren't paying attention to. I've talked so much about this battle over the bailout of the blue cities and blue states, and I've told you that everybody in Congress knows that the Federal Reserve has got a program of $500 billion just sitting there ready for any blue state, red state. Doesn't matter who it is. They're all going to get a bailout. And here comes the headline right now from Zero Hedge. I just saw it. Just breaking news. Illinois is set to borrow several billion from the Federal Reserve's Municipal Liquidity Fund for a second time if a new U.S. stimulus package and progressive tax hike scheme for Illinois don't come through. According to comments from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, Illinois already borrowed $1.2 billion from the Municipal Lending Fund earlier this year in an attempt to close some of the state's 2020 budget shortfall. That's right. And each one of these dollars, each one of these billions of dollars that are flowing into Illinois to bail them out for running their governments into the ground, everybody's right. See, you and I, we agree. Democrats cannot run a city or a state efficiently, effectively at all. They're bankrupting them all. And it's so cute when these Democrat politicians go out and convince the working classes out there, yeah, we're going to tax the rich. Are you so stupid that you don't understand that the rich are the most mobile people in the country? Matter of fact, in the world, they will go to Puerto Rico to avoid taxes. So you raising taxes on them just moves them outside the county, outside the city, or outside of the state. Look at California right now. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play a clip on that to finish out the show. But that's right. Every one of these billions of dollars that's going to Illinois has got your name, your children's name, and your grandchildren's name on it as collateral. They say the Federal Reserve prints it out of nowhere, but somebody's accountable for it. That money has to be paid off at some point. And they're just saying, well, the productivity of the American people stands good for every dollar that we print. You know, it says that it's a Federal Reserve note, but actually what it means is we will extract from the American people enough to keep this Ponzi scheme going. And so Illinois, right there, proof of what Mike Madison's been telling you for about 6 months now when they first announced this liquidity program for the states, that blue states are getting bailed out and have been getting bailed out. Where is this clip on here? Here it is. Bill Maher had Adam Schiff on his show. Bill Maher, no hero of the right, trust me. I understand. There's some pretty ridiculous views on things, but in a moment of sanity, Bill Maher asked Adam Schiff about something. I thought it was a very interesting exchange.
Look, you're a congressman from California. I know some of this is not in your domain because you go to Washington and work on national issues, but I live in California, so I'm going to bitch a little bit, can I?
Okay, because, you know, I mean, there is an exodus. I mean, California businesses are leaving the state in droves. In just 2018 and 19, which were economic boom years, 765 commercial facilities left, 13,000 businesses left between 2009 and 2016. Look, I came out here in 1983. I found paradise. I love California. I do. I don't want to leave. But I feel like I'm living in Italy in the 70s or something. Super high taxes, potholes in the road. I don't know what I'm getting for my super high taxes.
Oh.
And I do understand. And this talk of exodus, you know, I tell you, people talk about this a lot now, and people are leaving. Like in my industry, Joe Rogan left, Ben Shapiro. Sorry, ladies. Elon Musk talks about leaving. What do you say about this as a California representative?
Well, I think we have to make every effort to make this a more business-friendly state. And I don't think there's anything incompatible with being progressive and also wanted to make sure that this is a place that businesses can survive and thrive.
Yeah, there's nothing incompatible with taxing the crap out of somebody and then asking them to stay in your state and try to run a business under this crushing tax burden. Nothing incompatible to that, to Adam Schiff. These Democrats, I mean, I talk so much on this show about how I like a good-hearted liberal, but come on, get some basic economic understanding underneath you. You can still be a Democrat. I'm not the show host out here trying to recruit you to be a Trump fan or be a Republican because I'm neither. But come on, get a little bit of basic economic understanding and a tiny bit of maybe a dash of human nature study under your belts. When people see you looting and breaking and burning businesses, they don't like that. It turns them against you. When people live in a state and they go out to work and just want to provide for their families, and every year you take more of their money, they don't like that. And they will leave. And you keep electing these politicians who promise you a bunch of stuff, acting like it's free. You're just going to hit it. You're going to get it from these rich people when you don't realize that you actually gave it to the rich people in the first place. I mean, it is absolutely stunning to me. It is amazing to see. I don't know if I'll live long enough to see if Democrats lose learn their lesson. Am I going to live? I mean, are we on the cusp of seeing the Democrats lose control of Portland and Seattle and New York City? How does Mayor de Blasio, a Democrat, get reelected in high-tax New York City after shutting down all of the businesses by dictate for this period of time, driving thousands, tens of thousands? We forget how big New York City is, how populous it is. How does Mayor de Blasio get reelected or another Democrat in his stead after running tens of thousands of businesses into bankruptcy and violence erupting on the streets in New York? I am wondering, will we see any turn in these cities, or will they just blame external forces? This is what everybody does. Republicans and Democrats, they always they couldn't get this done because of the other side. That's what they always say. Will it continue to work? I mean, that's some real world pain that's been going in some of these Democratic cities, right? Whole blocks taken over by radicals that were burning and looting, and they take over the whole city and won't let the cops in, destroying businesses and people's lives inside. Will Seattle turn against Democratic leadership? It's going to be very interesting to see if you can teach an old dog new tricks. Now, I'm not trying to recruit you to Republicans. Your best bet would be to find some libertarian that says, all right, we're going to leave everybody alone, let you do your own thing. But electing another Democrat, and the same for Jackson. Boy, I just sold a property in Jackson, Mississippi. The difference in my taxes over the past 3 years was stunning. You know what that says to me? See ya, Jackson. Oh, you'll find me in Madison. That's all the time I got. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.